We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got 5 seconds left. Bulls will put it in play and then head back to Chicago tomorrow. Yep. And this game is over. Clippers win it 124-112 as the Clippers go 20 of 40 from three-point range.
Welcome back to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Mullin Hall, Mark Grody in for Mully. That was Chuck Swirsky after the Bulls, 124-112 loss to the Clippers. This is the de facto Bulls postgame show. So we're talking about what happened in Los Angeles. The Bulls finished their West Coast road swing 2-1, and that brings us to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find the editor of 670thescore.com, Cody Westerlund. Good morning, Cody.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for getting up. We know it was a late one watching that defensive lapse by the Bulls. Well, not a pretty to see, Cody. Overall, was this just the product of having back-to-back in L.A.? Was this a product of, you know, just the Clippers hitting 20 three-pointers and 50% of their shots behind the arc? How do you chalk up what happened last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it's back-to-back. I think a lot of it was Alex Caruso being out with the left foot soreness, which is certainly something that has bothered him for weeks now, and an ailment that the team has said he's going to have to deal with the rest of the year. So with it being a back-to-back, not as much time for him to recover. So he sat out. You've kind of seen this at times. Like, the Bulls' defense has been pretty darn solid all season. But when they're really clicking and going here since the Patrick Beverley addition, you can see how Caruso and Beverley combine to create a lot of havoc, a lot of chaos. And they didn't have as much of that last night. And I thought one of the things that was difficult, Billy Donovan didn't like how the Bulls basically were chasing the whole night, not closing out on shooters well. He thought the Clippers did a really good job on the drive and kick, and the Bulls couldn't keep up with them. A big reason that happens is because you don't have Alex Caruso at the point of attack, whether it's at the top of the key, whether it's on the wing, whoever the other team wants to initiate stuff with. He's not blowing up screens. He's not fighting through them. That sends everybody basically into a cycle of chasing, and it's just more difficult for the Bulls to play that way when they only have kind of one of Caruso and Beverley out there.
Dan, Caruso had a great game against the Lakers the day before, causing offensive fouls, covering LeBron in the post. So yeah, I mean, it, like, every night we watch that guy play, he makes two or three really good defensive plays. But one of the bigger problems for the Bulls last night, like, Nicholas Batum was just a walking heat check last night. Was there something that they could have done to Batum, or was he just hot last night?
Well, it's interesting, right? So he made 8 three-pointers, a season high for Batum. And like you said, he was the difference maker in the game. And I rewatched most of those three-pointers, and a few of them were wide open because the Bulls gave Kawhi Leonard some extra attention. Kawhi, I think, had 3 of the assists to Batum, and that's just part of the game plan sometimes, right? Like Billy Donovan was explaining, when Kawhi had a mismatch or he was getting the ball deeper, closer to the post, they wanted to double and send some help. So they did that a few times, and it burned them. But I thought there were some real mental mistakes the Bulls made in guarding Batum as well. And you can say, you know, part of that's Caruso being out. There's more guys driving into the lane. Those guys are naturally sucked into the lane. So, like, you kind of understand why it happens. But I know I saw Patrick Williams on, like, 2 of them just step into the lane and off Batum where his teammates didn't need help. Ayo Dosunmu was guarding Batum on the wing on one of the plays, and Kobe White and Vooch had the point of attack kind of under control. Like, no one in the NBA cares if someone shoots a 20-foot two-pointer, and that's what the Clippers were walking into. And Ayo went over there to help and left Batum, and it's just like, what are you doing at that point? So I didn't think the Bulls adhered to the game plan very well, and I would probably be remiss if I didn't point out, too, that DeMar DeRozan was a primary defender on Batum for some long stretches, and DeMar just isn't covering much ground defensively right now, guys. Like, we look at his offensive stats, and, like, he's so talented with the ball in his hands. He's so smart. He's so strong. He knows how to get to his spots that even when he has this quad strain, like, he can put up an efficient offensive night and share the ball and have good-looking assist totals. But, like, defensively, he can't close out very well on guys. And I thought that's part of the issue, too, was DeMar being a little bit slowed lately. And there's really no way around that, right, when he's 34 and it's late into the season. You got to play hard every night for this play-in push.
Talking to Cody Westerlund, the editor of 670thescore.com, here on the Mully and Haas Show. Mark Grody in for Mully. So, Cody, you mentioned Patrick Williams, and you watch him sometimes. Like last night, there were some decisions to rotate that just didn't make basketball sense. And offensively, sometimes you see him disappear and make decisions that don't always make basketball sense. Here we are. I know he's young, and it's way too early to maybe draw some conclusions, but are you beginning to wonder about his instincts? Do you wonder about some of the basketball decisions that he makes that make you feel like he's not getting it? Where are you with him in that regard?
Oh, it's like you're reading my text to some of my friends. We were texting about him the other day, and like I called him one of the most Patrick Williams. I called him one of the most confusing players I'd ever seen in this like 10-year stretch for me covering the Bulls, certainly, and just watching the NBA closely. Like, the kid has the physical tools. He is as humble as they come. Good work ethic, and like this is an important fact. Like, he can shoot the ball, right? Like, he's shooting 42% from three-point range. He's got a nice soft touch. Like, the guy has all these skills and the right attitude, and what you see from him is not enough production. And like, the only way you can really trace it is, like you brought up, like those instincts, right? And we've talked a lot about like Patrick Williams' fire and passion for rebounding and stuff, or the lack thereof. He's not a very good rebounder. Like, I don't think it's because he's not naturally trying, right? It's not like he doesn't have the passion to go get the rebound as much as it is. I think, like, I just don't think he always knows where he needs to be on the court, and he doesn't know how to use those physical tools to reach his potential or hit the ceiling of what he can do. And I'm not talking right now just for his entire career. There's still plenty of time to do that, but just within the realm of what you would hope to see out of him in the third year. So, like, that's why he's confusing to me, because like, it's really promising, his ability to shoot the basketball. And you see him and what he can do and some of the blocks he makes here and there. But then you just look at some of the other things, the rebounding, like he has more turnovers than assists in his career, like, which is just a huge indicator of he doesn't really know where to pass the ball when he does have an advantage sometimes. So like, that's why he's so confusing to me. And I think just part of it is experience, but the question is, like, that's how it's kind of weird and difficult, right? The Bulls are in a win-now mode, and he might develop into someone who's really good down the line, but it's not happening as quickly as you like. So that's why you see him playing more within this system for the Bulls and being the number five offensive option, or number four, I guess, now a little bit, you might say. But he is a confusing player to me.
That's such a great word, confusing. And I like that word because it's still – shows promise that he's not nobody's given up on Patrick Williams. He was smooth last night, 7 of 8 from the field. I thought after I saw him hit a jumper inside the arc last night and then a three-pointer, and this in the first quarter, I thought that he was going to have I thought maybe we were going to see a Patrick Williams game, but he was still extremely efficient, 7 of 8 from the field.
You look at the box score, he was tremendous, right? He had 16 points, as you said, on 7-8 shooting. Yep. He guarded Kawhi, Kawhi got his 22.
Yep.
He was efficient from the field, but Kawhi did not hang 33 or 38 like he has on the Bulls here before in recent years and totally dominate the game. Some of that was the defensive help, and Patrick Williams was a primary defender. You look at that, you're like, great. But then you're like, oh man, he made two or three defensive miscues that were just atrocious that gave the Clippers wide open threes. Like, that's 6 or 9 points that you could say is directly responsible on one player. On one possession, the Clippers drove like baseline or to the right side. Williams collapsed off of Eric Gordon to take away a passing lane to Russell Westbrook, who I would bet $1,000 the Bulls had in the game plan to leave open from three-point range, right?
they should.
He took that away and left the pass to Gordon. And now, in fairness, it was a really good pass and maybe not the one you'd expect them to make to Gordon. So, like, that's why the Clippers play elite basketball at a high level. But the point is never to take away a Russell Westbrook three-pointer. So, like, you look at these things and you're just like, looks really good, but that's what drives coaches crazy, right? Like, when guys don't play as many minutes or have as big of a role in moments as you expect in the NBA, it's usually one of two things. It's they're getting outworked and outplayed in practice, and we can't see that on a daily basis, or especially later in the season when they don't practice as much, they're not following the game plan as well as coaches want, and we don't know every aspect of the game plan, and the coaches are driven crazy by that.
Cody, we only have a minute left, but please, if you can, tell us the difference. The Bulls now have a one game. They're in 10th. They're 3 games ahead of the 11th place Wizards and Pacers. They're 1 game behind the Hawks and Raptors in the 8th and 9th spot. Could you explain to me and to our audience what the difference would be between being in the 8 or 7 spot and the 9 and 10 spot?
Yeah, so put 7 and 8 together, put 9 and 10 together. Huge difference. If you're 7th or 8th, you got to win one game to make the playoffs, the traditional 8-team bracket. And you get 2 tries. If you're 9 or 10, you got to win 2 games. And if you have 1 slip-up, you're going to be out. So 7 and 8 play for the 7 seed. The loser of that game plays the winner of 9-10 for the 8 seed. So I know that was kind of quick and everything, but a very big difference, because if you get to 7 or 8, it's you go win 1 game and you're in the playoffs. And let me tell you, this is not an NBA champion contender. So even when the Bulls are playing really good basketball here lately, by their standards, really tough basketball, we've seen this. A lot of these games are still close. They come down to the wire, and you're always one dud away, even if you're playing good basketball when you're in that 9-10 spot. You're one dud away from missing the playoffs. So it is a big difference for the Bulls, which is why climbing up a couple more spots would be big for them here over the final 7 games.
Great stuff, Cody. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yep, you guys take care.
Cody Westerlund, the editor of 670thescore.com. That's where you can find our Bulls coverage.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.